Today I have Jonathan Greengrass on the line from Grayston Bakery. Jonathan is the VP of Development and Public Relations for the Grayston Foundation, which owns the for-profit social enterprise Grayston Bakery. The motto of the bakery is that they don't hire people to bake brownies, we bake brownies to hire people. Jonathan, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Could you tell us a little bit more about Grayston's social mission? And I should mention that the company was founded in 1982, so that you've been around for quite some time.
The organization was founded by an extraordinary man, a real visionary named Bernie Glassman, who is one of the country's and the world's most respected practicing Zen Buddhist teachers. And it was formed actually in the Bronx of New York, as a support system for the Zen Buddhist sect that Bernie was running at that time. And the idea was that he was looking around his neighborhood and was very socially involved and active, and decided that one of the great ways that he could act was to hire homeless individuals near where his sect was and hire them to work in a bakery that he would start, within the profits of that bakery would underwrite the ongoing activities of his programs. He quickly came to realize that providing jobs was certainly an important step, but in order to really put people on the path to self-sufficiency, which has been the aim of all of Grayston's programs since its inception, was that you had to provide a full, holistic menu, if you will, of program services. So he quickly moved into the areas of affordable housing and childcare. And really what made Bernie so unique was that he was really ahead of his time in many areas. We are, if you will, the organization of cliches. We really believe very much in teaching a person how to fish as opposed to giving them a fish. And we believe in providing long-term affordable housing with on-site case management. That was something that was unheard of back when Bernie first started. The organization moved up into the Yonkers area in the early 90s, and we currently now have over 200 units of affordable housing, a nationally accredited child care center, an adult day program for individuals with HIV and AIDS, several housing areas just for individuals with HIV and AIDS, and of course what is still the crown jewel of Grayston, which is the Grayston Bakery. An interesting company in that the bakery itself is a for-profit company, which is wholly owned by the nonprofit Grayston Foundation, so that when profits are created in the bakery, after all taxes are paid and the normal business expenses are paid for, the profits are used to underwrite the ongoing services of the rest of the foundation in the area of Southwest Yonkers.
So you did a great job in setting me up for mention, which is that that's an interesting structure. The fact that the Grayston Bakery, which is for profit, is owned by the nonprofit foundation. When did that become set up? Was that the way that it was set up from the beginning? And what's the advantage of having a structure that way?
It was always set up that way, and the idea being that the employees at the bakery view their opportunity. The critical thing about the bakery is its open hiring process. Let me just take a step back. And an open hiring process means that anybody who wants a job gets a job. We have a sign-up sheet in that people come and they sign up and they put their name down. And when job openings become available, we call the first people on the list going down until we have enough people to fill. We do not look at backgrounds. We do not do background checks. And because of this, we get a lot of people who were either formerly homeless or formerly incarcerated, and we really have become the employer of second, third, and fourth chances for many individuals. In addition to that, once they're in the employee of the bakery, there is a one-year apprenticeship program. And it's really a tough love program. I mean, if people want to change their lives and they want an opportunity, this is a place to get them. They are not coddled in the bakery. It is the reason that it was set up that way. This is not a program. This is not a social service program. This is a job, and it has responsibilities that go along with it being a job. And it was originally set up that way to create a mindset in the employees that this was a place of work. For us, success for our employees is not only turning out an incredibly high quality product that tastes delicious and makes a profit for the bakery, but it is also a place where individuals can get a second chance, they can get job skills, they can work at a place and have supportive services as well available to them. They learn resume writing, they learn job skills, they learn how to work in a business, how to deal with pressure, they get financial literacy, they get all those in addition to it being a job. So for us, success is someone staying with us 3, 4, 5 years and then moving on in their path to another job, which then opens up the opportunity for someone else to move in.
How many do you see the bakery now?
Bakery has approximately 55 employees at any time. We tend to staff up during the spring and summer months. The bakery's main customer is Ben & Jerry's ice cream. We make the majority of the brownies that are found in chocolate fudge brownie ice cream and several other of their top flavors. So as you can imagine, given an ice cream business, we're very busy in the spring and summer. And then we tend to go down a bit in the fall and winter. But the bakery is actually looking on working with other companies at the point to bring in more business to get the goal of operating 24/7, 365, which is what we're on the road to doing now.
Right, and in addition to the brownies for Ben & Jerry's, you have a relatively new line of do-goody brownies, which are available for retail, and then a new line of gluten-free products, which I think is really pretty cool.
Well, thank you very much. We're going to put you on our sales force. We would encourage everyone to go to graysonbakery.com and visit the bakery. All our products are available online and can be shipped all around the world. The do-goodies become very, very popular. It is a absolutely delicious, high-quality gourmet baker brownie, come available in 4 flavors. And the gluten-free products are also available and are slowly being rolled out across the Northeast.
And I'm going to get back into the to the employees and how you develop those programs, but what is this? In my research, I did quite a bit. You had you were making cakes, and it wasn't very profitable, but the cakes were very high quality, and they were served at very fine New York restaurants in addition to the White House. So that is a great accolade as well, I suppose.
Thank you.
So, Jonathan, how long does the average employee stay?
The average employee at the bakery stays 4 to 5 years, but we have many employees who have been there for 15 and 20 years who started out through our open hiring process, came in with no job skills and no real job resume, and have been there for 14, 15 years and have gone up the career ladder at the bakery and are now floor supervisors and managers, and we're really quite excited about them and their success. We've also had people that have gone on to be entrepreneurs and run their own businesses after being at the bakery for, 10 years. So it really runs the gamut, and there's no one answer to that. One of the central tenets and philosophies of Grayston is an idea called path making, and that is the idea that every individual has their own path, and what Grayston strives to do is to support the individuals, and not to determine what their paths are, but to support them on their own path, helping them to find their way to their successful area of self-sufficiency.
So how do you train and help to reacclimate or readjust if other employers wouldn't go near? As you mentioned, these are second, third, fourth chances for people who often have a history of a background of unreliability, of zero to low skill set.
The bakery really serves as a company that hires individuals who want to work. We do not take there. It is very strict, and in fact, that's one of the reasons that there is a one-year apprenticeship program. It is a tough program. We are very clear that when someone comes in the door, that what the rules and what the responsibilities are, and there are lots of individuals who are interested in taking that next step in the world, in their lives, and wanting to leave whatever personal baggage or history behind them, and they're ready to move on. And that's what the bakery does. It offers that opportunity for them. We're not going to change someone's mindset who is not yet ready to change on their own. But once an individual has determined that they are ready to move to that place, then we are there to offer them not only a job, but all the accompanying skill sets and soft skills training that goes along with that.
Does Grayston have a strong value system that the employees learn and it helps to kind of guide their behavior, or is there, in addition to them making this choice and wanting to be there, is there a peer structure that pushes them to be responsible and reliably growing, or what are some of the, in addition to them wanting to be there, what are some of the other mechanisms that help them? Strong management, value system, peer pressure?
The bakery has weekly training sessions that provide a variety of skills trainings that help individuals deal with the kinds of pressures that come along in having a full-time job. So we provide additional services for childcare. We help them with issues around housing. We'll help them with issues around social service benefits. There is a men's and a women's club facilitated by volunteers where they can speak in complete confidentiality. And it's not peer pressure as much as it is peer support on how to work through various issues that come up in their lives. Those all combined together make for a strong support system.
And do you use positive reinforcement, or how do you encourage and reward good performance?
Well, after the one-year apprenticeship program, if the individuals who make it through that program, all the employees at the bakery are unionized with full benefits. There is a cash stipend for graduating from the apprenticeship program. There are bonuses throughout the year for the employees of the bakery. It's run like a business, and its successful business rewards its employees. The books are completely transparent to the employees at the bakery. They know when they're doing well, what they're not doing well. They know when the bakery is being successful. They know when it's not. We believe in total transparency with our employees, and through that, they have a sense of accomplishment and success.
If there are other people listening who want to start a similar type of program using a business to provide jobs and skills for people who haven't had the opportunity before, you've been doing this for a while, and it sounds like you have really strong programs and a good success rate, but what are some of the critical things that they would need to employ that you've learned throughout?
It's an interesting question, specifically because we are actually in the process of investigating a second social enterprise for Grayston to get into. And we have spent the past year starting with the premise that we wanted to create a new business that met two essential criteria. One was that it would provide jobs for the hard to employ, and the second was that within 3 to 4 years it would be profitable. Like any new company, you have to really do a lot of research in identifying the niche and the demographic and what product you want to create and who you're. This is no different than any other business, except that it does have the additional challenge of being able to hire individuals who may not come to the company with a significant set of skills. So we have spent about a year narrowing down. We started with a huge brainstorm session with community leaders and volunteers and community residents and our own staff sitting around kind of doing a brainstorming of what kind of business we'd want to be in. It was narrowed down to 10 ideas. That's been narrowed down to 2 ideas. We're doing significant feasibility studies on those 2 ideas. Our board of directors will eventually, if the feasibility studies indicate that they are feasible, they'll choose one. We'll write a business plan, and then we'll go out and hopefully start that business. So it's not something you would enter into lightly. And it takes a lot of research, and there's no simple answer for you with regard to this. It's really about where you are, what demographic you want to choose, and what skill sets you have in-house that can help you run a business.
And then are you with an outside firm to do feasibility studies?
We are working with a specific firm we got a grant, and we are working with a specific outside consultant firm to work on this, yes.
So back to the question of why a for-profit is housed within, is owned by a nonprofit. What are the benefits of that type of structure?
The benefits for us, I believe, and this happened before I came on board, have a lot to do with the psychology of having employees work at a for-profit. As we covered earlier, it really is about setting a mindset that this is, they are in a business, they are not in a social service program. And as we are on the verge of starting our second business, we will be determining whether or not it will be for-profit or non-profit based on a variety of reasons, some being tax-oriented and some having to do with the programs themselves and the attitude of the employees.
And how profitable is the bakery now? Is that something?
The bakery has been running break-even for the past couple of years, and we're expecting it again to return to significant profitability within the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. So 100% of profits from the bakery go to Grayston Foundation, and as you start off by saying, that's after people are paid, expenses are paid, taxes are paid. What does that amount to? What amount of money approximately is being Chen Foundation to the affordable housing and the
daycare? Well,
daycare,
you have to, before you think about the profit, you have to realize that by its very existence, the bakery has a second and a third bottom line. So it's not just about the profit it generates for the foundation, because by its very existence, it's providing 55 jobs for individuals who would not otherwise have jobs, plus providing ongoing training for those individuals. So while most people have considered this to be a double bottom line, we almost consider it to be a triple bottom line. And you started off with our quote, which is a wonderful quote, which is that we don't hire people to bake brownies. We bake brownies so we can hire people. And again, it sounds like a cliche, but it really goes to the heart of who we are. The bakery over the years has turned hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to underwrite the services of the other programs of the foundation.
How did it start this question? My next question, why, and I'm not sure you can answer this, but why a bakery as opposed to a landscaping company or another type of industry? Was there a lot of feasibility studies undertaken at that time?
I think that was just Bernie with an incredible vision, and that's just kind of the way it happened at that time.
Okay. Do you think that the bakery in its mission has altered what your customers think about things? And is that something that you think about as a bakery and trying to incite different actions from your customers or make them more aware, or is it really just a customer-business relationship? You put out goods at a fair price, they will buy them.
I think that if we didn't create a fabulous brownie, we wouldn't have customers. I think it all starts with the product. I think that someone might buy our product once because they've heard about it and they've heard that we do the brownies for Ben and Jerry's, or that they think it's a good social mission, but that customer coming back the second time and the third time and telling their friends about it is because it is an absolutely delicious product. And it all starts, like any business, it all starts with customer service and product. And if you don't have those two, the social mission will never be successful. So what's one of the things that we're very proud of is that the fact that we all feel that the brownie is delicious. Ben and Jerry's has been with us for over 10 years at this point and would not continue to use our services if they didn't think that the product we turned out, they are first and foremost a business. And in fact, even more so since they were bought by a major company, Unilever, who has continued to use the Grayston Bakery to supply them because we make a high-quality product that is cost-effective.
And are you buying local ingredients or getting national ingredients?
We use 100% organic natural ingredients. Some of our products have to be sourced outside of the local market because of the availability of those products. But we use local where we can, and everything is completely natural.
How did you become a supplier of Ben & Jerry's brownies?
The story that I understand it, was that Bernie met Ben and Jerry at a social venture network conference many, many years ago, and they sat down and decided that they wanted to try and work together. They originally had planned, I believe, on making an ice cream brownie sandwich, and the bakery at that point had sent some brownies up to Ben and Jerry's, which by the time they got in transit from Yonkers to Vermont had become one big clump. Ben and Jerry's, being as creative and wonderful and brilliant as they are, decided to chop them up and throw them into some ice cream to see how it tasted, and the chocolate fudge brownie ice cream was born, and has now become one of their top three sellers in the history of Ben and Jerry's ice cream.
That's a good story.
It's a great. You know, it's a classic story of some true visionaries getting together, and it's a great story to continue to tell.
Right. You've talked about, as you're looking to develop a second social enterprise that you're involving your employees, but the community, citizens, and leaders. How do you involve your shareholders in your mission and work? One of the things that I talk about when I do these interviews and I hear from other entrepreneurs is that a social mission really extends, it's not just about the employee relationship or supplier relationship, it has many facets. And it seems that Grayson does this very well by nature of it. So what are some of the ways that you work with these different constituency group holders?
Not quite sure how to answer that. I can tell you that as in the feasibility studies that we're doing now, we have two ideas, both of which serve as a product to totally different constituencies, and potentially have two totally different methods of sales and marketing, but at their basis, both meet the very stringent requirements that we put on this at the beginning, which was that they both have the potential to hire individuals who have no job background, no necessarily job skills coming into us, but eventually do have a career ladder for those individuals so that if they and the business succeed, they can gain significant job skills and then continue to stay with the company or to move on. So it really depends, again, on the business that we choose to go in, whichever direction we choose to go in.
So we talked about the reason that people are customers is because you put out fine products, and that's evidenced by your purchasers, including Ben and Jerry's. But as the public becomes more aware of corporate social responsibility, businesses who are sustainable and doing well, have you seen a different type of reaction from your customers, a different type of enthusiasm or more word of mouth? Is there anything that's related to your social mission that's a customer driver that you can see?
I think the packaging on our Do-Goody product tells our social mission. And I do believe that customers more and more are looking when they're buying products of equal value and equal quality. And there are a lot of great brownies in the market. I mean, I'm not saying ours is the best. Although I do believe it is the best, there are a lot of great brownies in the market. But if you're looking at two brownies and you know that one of them supports programs like Grayson, I would think that most people would certainly tend to buy that one. So I think that more and more that companies are looking to have associations with nonprofit organizations. And previous organizations that I've worked, I've done lots of cause-related products, and there's been a real increase in companies recognizing that, not just purely as a marketing ploy, but these companies are made up of individuals who do truly care, and they see this as a way to achieve multiple good at once. And I really think that that's a trend that's going to continue and continue to grow.
Grayson's CEO is Julius Wall still, is he currently the CEO?
Julius actually just recently left the bakery, which is another wonderful story of path making. Julius has been a great, great advocate, not just for the Grayson Bakery, but for the concept of social entrepreneurship for years, but in a true path making story has also been pursuing the ministry for many, many years, and actually recently left Grayston to pursue the ministry full-time. And we were lucky enough to bring in a man named Bill Mistretta, who has 25 years of baking experience and truly, you know, really comes from the baking world and has joined us in November and has already started to open up doors for the bakery to lots of the places that he's come from, and we're really looking forward to his being incredibly successful here and helping fulfill our mission, increase the profitability of the bakery, hire more individuals, and really grow the bakery.
That's terrific. It seemed that Julius brought a strong sense of business and perhaps structure bakery. Was that kind of his legacy there, just from the reading that I had done?
Julius really helped take the bakery from a small bakery that it was doing cakes, pies, and some brownies for Ben and Jerry's. He oversaw the construction of a 20,000 square foot facility from a 6,000 square foot facility where it had been previously. Under Julius, our business with Ben and Jerry's grew from a couple of $1 million a year to over $6 million a year in business. He really helped take the bakery from point A to point B, and the success of the bakery is due in large part to his oversight over the past 10 years, and it's a legacy that I'm sure he left with much pride and a lot of sadness on many of our parts. It was hard to see him go, but we also truly respected that he was following something that he loves. We're also very excited to bring Bill in. Bill is going to hopefully take us from point B, where Julius has taken us to a new level of success.
We talked about a little bit that Grayston is a B Corp, which is a beneficial company. What are the benefits that you've experienced from being a B Corp, and why did you decide apply?
I don't actually know if we as an organization have experienced any change in our business because of the introduction of the B Corp. I mean, I think until that concept becomes national and achieves some sort of federal regulation in terms of its tax status, I'm not sure how much of an impact it's going to have. We really support it because conceptually we have a strong preference for this kind of a structure. It helps in terms of investment. It helps in terms of bringing in new income. And I think it will eventually make a great difference in the ability of organizations like the Grayston Bakery to open, succeed, and then thrive. But at this point, I'm not quite sure where that's going. We totally support its structure, but it hasn't really had much of an impact for us.
Have you seen other organizations who model themselves after it?
I'm sorry, Olivia. Can you?
Have you seen other organizations who have modeled them?
I lost you again.
Oh, okay. Have you seen other organizations who have modeled themselves?
Who have modeled themselves on the bakery?
Mm-hmm.
I think there are. Mm-hmm. This is a relatively new area for me. I've only been here about 2 years, but I do know that through the Social Venture Network, there are listings of dozens and dozens of companies who have similar models. I think that Grayston Bakery was probably one of the first in the country to be a true social enterprise. But since then, I know that there are dozens and dozens of successful models.
Brian, what brought you to Grayston Bakery? You had mentioned that you had done some work with cause-related products before.
Yes.
So what made you want to come to Grayston, and what was the driver? What was your battery preparing for the work that you're doing now?
Grayston Bakery is an interesting story from my path. I actually started about 20 years ago running a gourmet food business in New York City. And as part of that business, one of our responsibilities was running a chain of food departments inside of Bloomingdale's up and down the Northeast. And one of the vendors who we inherited when we took over that business was the Grayston Bakery, who at that point were making the most incredible cakes and pies, and that we were reselling either as full in the cake and pie or as individual slices for customers who went by. In every box that Grayston delivered was the story of the bakery, and its social mission. And for me, that was my introduction to the concept that business and nonprofit could combine successfully. And I was really intrigued by that concept. And when I moved from my business career into the nonprofit world, that was kind of an idea that I took with me. And I have always applied the business skills that I learned running that company to nonprofits since then. I've been involved in several startups of nonprofits, two other social purpose businesses, and done a lot of cause-related work with companies. And when I recently moved up to Westchester and was approached by Grayston to work at this organization, I felt like things had come truly full circle for me, and I feel very lucky to be here.
That's a great story. Is there anything else that you want to share with us today?
Well, the only thing I would share is that we would love people to come visit us online. Grayston makes great corporate gifts, and if I have the ability to make a plug, we always do. GraystonBakery.com, great place to buy gifts for all people, for all seasons, for all occasions.
Terrific. Jonathan, many thanks for your day. It's really interesting to hear about this company who's been doing this work for so long and just getting better and better at the work, the business, and the programs that you can provide through the business. So, okay,
we certainly appreciate your helping us to spread the word, and look forward to being in touch with you.
For more interviews about cause capitalism, visit causecapitalism.com.